Revelation 13. All right, as we begin, let's just take another look at our little chart here. It just kind of gives us a little bit of a clue as to where we're at. And here we're still in 13, chapters 12, 13, and 14. In between there, between the first and second bowl, just before the bowl judgments there, that just they're being announced. And so it kind of gives us an idea where we're at in the book. And then as we review, let's just review over these actors that we've seen. We've looked at the first five actors. The woman was Israel, and the red dragon was Satan. The man-child was Christ. The archangel was Michael. And the remnant were the saved of Israel. Okay? And then we move on to the next actor, and that is the sea beast, or the Antichrist. In verse number 1 of chapter 13, you follow along, I'm going to read down the first 10 verses here, so bear with me. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and to the sea, and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months, that's 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto him and all over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwelt upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. And let he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity, and he that killeth with a sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. All right, now let's just pull this apart and have a look at what is being said here. First of all, we see the description of this beast in the first two verses there. He's described for us. The beast is coming out of the sea, and he's likely the Antichrist, as suggested by John Wolford. I think that's a very good possibility. God doesn't specifically tell us, but the indications seem to point in that direction, that this beast is the Antichrist. And the sea symbolizes the masses of people, indicating that the Antichrist will probably be a Gentile. All right? And again, these are just speculations based on the things that are there. All right, we found similar description in Revelation 12:3, portraying the dragon or Satan, and that's also found in Daniel 7:7-8, and Revelation 17:3-7. Now, this description identifies the beast with the revived Roman Empire. So, as we just let me read the next one, and then we'll just pause and talk about this. This verse clearly tells us that the beast out of the sea is not Satan, for the dragon will give him his power and his position and his authority. And all the animals chosen to describe the beast, the leopard, the bear, and the lion, describe the three empires in Daniel chapter 7. All right, so there's a lot in that. All right. But any comments or questions or things, thoughts on that?
Over the years, so many people have looked into this and have sort of made up their own minds as to what it is. I mean, when I first became a Christian and somebody told me about this, it was told that that beast was Europe. Because of the nations all joined together, that was supposed to be the beast.
Yeah. And there's a lot of different interpretations.
I think, you know, when we go into this sort of thing, we've got to be very careful that we don't sort of stumble on it and say, well, that's definitely what it is.
Yeah.
Because it's not.
And see, that's why I said right
Daniel
from the...
Daniel gave his dreams and his prophecies. Nobody in those days knew what he was talking about either.
Yeah.
And it wasn't revealed until well after.
Yeah. Joseph, you got a comment?
It's quite clear that the Antichrist is the beast. I've got no qualms about that. And neither has many of the commentators.
Yeah.
It's simply a man who's been given the power by Satan to speak great things, you know, nations don't speak great things, and blasphemies, and power was given unto him, to continue 42 months, you know, 3.5 years.
Yep, so I think that's a pretty good interpretation there. But like Inika pointed out, and I said that earlier in the study, there's a lot in this book that people debate over. Obviously, there's a lot of different interpretations, and so to be concrete in some of the things that we believe, you know, we may be wrong. But I think that there's a lot of evidence here that it probably is referring to the Antichrist. Okay? All right, and then the next... we see there that this actually continuing on. His deadly wound was healed, verse number 3. I know this is an interesting thing here. Look at again at verse number 3, and he saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. I know there's quite a bit of debate over what this is. It's unlikely that this speaks of a physical resurrection, because nowhere in the Bible do we read that Satan has the power to resurrect. It's a possibility, but I think it's an unlikely possibility that it's an actual physical resurrection. Perhaps the wounded head speaks of the Roman Empire and the fact that it will once again come to life. That's another possibility. All right. So, Joseph, do you have any insight on that?
I would say that this is the part where Satan comes into the Antichrist, and because he's winning, and he becomes the driving power in him, like a possession thing. Some will say that.
Well, I think that there's definitely some indications that the Antichrist is getting more possessed in a sense. You're right. And his honor and his fame, we see in verse number 4 that the peoples of the world will worship the dragon, which is Satan, and who will empower the beast, the Antichrist. So Satan's going to be empowering the beast, as Joe just mentioned here, the power that is there upon him and possessing him. And the blasphemies for 42 months, 3.5 years there, verses 5 and 6, speaking all kinds of blasphemies. Now, when you think about blasphemy, here he's speaking of things, a blasphemy then would be against, it doesn't necessarily have to be against God, but they probably were, and against God's people, because they were against that. And as Satan's mouthpiece, the Antichrist will rule the revived Roman Empire, will boldly speak great blasphemous things during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. So he is going to be very vocal and very anti-God and very against what is right and speaking out against the things of God during this time. Okay? And then his allowed persecutions, all right, verse number 7 there, let's just take a look at verse 7 again to refresh our minds. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. All right, so Satan will give the Antichrist power to make war with the believers on earth and will overcome them. Now, obviously, he's not overcoming all of them because some of them have been sealed. But he'll be overcoming them since the Jews will be protected, the 144,000 sealed ones, those protected in the wilderness, and those protected in the wilderness, whether they're the same ones or another segment of them, this persecution may be mostly against Gentile believers. There's a possibility, okay? Christians in all nations will be attacked by this persecution. The very fact that he talks here that it's going to be over all kindreds and tongues and nations, it's a worldwide type of a thing. There's going to be a lot of persecution, and Satan's going to be empowering the Antichrist. They're going to be turning against God and his people in a very broad sense of the word. Okay? And then his worship in verse number 8. Right? And all that dwell upon the earth worshiped him, and whose names are written, are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. All right, now that statement there has caused a lot of misconceptions with a lot of people. Let's just take a look at that in a moment. So all unbelievers will worship him, and God has known from the beginning those whose names are written in the book of life. All right, so God has known that. This does not say that God elected it so. Every man has free will to receive and or reject Christ. And I think, you know, there's a lot of debates over that in these days, but I think that's very clear. The Bible tells us over and over again, whosoever will may come. In the very end of the book, you know, Revelation 22, 17, he says, he invites everyone to come. And so it isn't God's object here to say, you know, I've chosen some and the rest of you, forget it. And so God has known this though from the beginning. And so when he says there that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, obviously Christ was not slain in the foundation of the world, but in God's mind, and because God does not have, God is not controlled by time, and therefore he knew and could foresee the crucifixion of Christ even way back in the very beginning. Okay? All right. And then his condemnation we see in verses 9 and 10. All right, verses 9 and 10. And if any man will have an ear to hear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall be go into captivity, and he that killeth with the sword shall be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and the faith of the saints. All right, so God says here that God's going to call all who have ears to hear to listen closely. What he's about to say here is some fearful warnings. And those who persecute his people must expect the same kind of treatment. Right, payday is coming for the wicked. So God says here that if you're going to persecute my people, you're going to endure the same kind of thing. You're going to get what you are dishing out. And then this assurance that God will execute justice should encourage the saints to persevere steadfastly and to trust God during this period of intense persecution and martyrdom. All right, so God tells us this so that the Christians that are going through that and they're facing that, they know that God's going to settle the score. You know, even in our world today, we need to remember that all the things that is turning more and more against God's people all the time, God's going to settle the score one day. It's going to be all right. And we may yet face persecution and hard times, but God's going to settle the score. God will take care of it in his good timing. All right? And then we change directions here a little bit. There's the earth beast or the false prophet in verses 11 to 18. I'm going to just read the verses little by little as we go so we don't have to read through the whole section. Verse number 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Right now, just take a look at that. He had horns like a lamb, and he spake like a dragon. So we can see here the appearance of something that is good, but in reality, something that was bad. Right? So he's deceiving people. Yes, and here we see this other beast. He's coming to the earth, and this new beast is another beast of the same kind. He will occupy a secondary role supporting the activities of the first beast. All right, so these two beasts are working together. You have the beast, the Antichrist beast, and now we've got another beast that's the false prophet. They're going to be working together hand in hand to cause more havoc on the earth. And this beast out of the earth will be the false prophet, verses 16, chapter 16, 13, 19, 20, and 20, 10. Because this beast has two horns like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon, Robertson suggests that it is that he's a wolf in sheep's clothing, and I agree with that. All right, now he will be a great deceiver. All right, so he's going to deceive multitudes of people lead them astray. And then his power, we see that he will persuade men to worship the first beast with his cunning, deceitful tongue. And this verse may support the suggestion that the Antichrist was killed and resurrected, but not just the Roman Empire. So that's just another thought on this, but read verse 12 again. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him and caused the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Right. So this beast is urging the people to worship, and there's deceit, and there's all kinds of... Satan is coming down, and even as we saw on Sunday night, as we looked in there in Colossians, and we saw there in the verses, verse that spoke about Christ having triumph over the devil and defeating him. And Satan is very, very angry about being defeated and put down. And here he's been cast out of heaven. He can't go to heaven anymore. And now he's just pouring out his hatred toward God and God's people on the earth. And he's using the Antichrist and the false prophet to work with him on these things. And then we see that his purpose in verses 13 and 14. And he doth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of to the beast which he has, which had the womb by the sword and did live. All right, so he says he's trying to get people to make an image of him. All right, so he's doing this miracle power to deceive the people. Satan is going all out here. He's deceiving the world and trying to deceive people. And by miracles, he will deceive the unbelievers into making an image of the beast. So exactly what that image is, I mean, there's some sort of an image that appears like this beast, and he's set that up. And then his plot then in verse number 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. All right, so Satan also had the power then to give life, or at least the appearance of life, to this image. So this image, it was, who knows what it was, some kind of a statue of some sort, and he was made it look like at least it was alive. Whether it actually had life, I kind of question that, because God's the only one that can give life.
Yeah. They've already, if you haven't actually had a look, it's called the giant. They've already, it's like a process of, you know, similarities between this one and what's going to be. And with this giant that they've built, it's a great thing for advertising, you know, and this great giant, you'll see it on YouTube and things like that. They've already built it in some cities. It's a huge giant, and it can show people things and advertise things, and it's quite interesting if you have a look at. All I can say is have a look at this thing, and you'll see where it's all headed.
So this giant you're talking about, what's that got to do with this?
Well, it says an image.
Yes, but you're saying it's just something else they've already created that are doing something similar.
Well, there's a link to that because it's all AI stuff, you know.
Okay.
And it's huge, and it can do all sorts of things.
Okay.
And,
so just the idea that they've created some kind of a robotic type of thing that they've already.
That way, AI,
yeah. Yeah, and so we're going to see this, and there's going to be the appearance of life there. As I said, I really don't think he could give life because God only can give life, true life. Wiersbe suggests that the giving of life to the image and making it speak the miracle to counter the resurrection and of the two witnesses that will make the world headlines at this time in the midst of the tribulation. All right, so that is a possibility. Remember, the devil was, you know, not happy at all when the two witnesses rose from the dead and ascended up into heaven, and everybody saw that, and that was probably kind of a blow to what the devil had planned, because here everybody said, whoa, that was a miracle, and after 3 or 4 days of being dead, now they're raised, and now it's possible that he's done this to try to counter that. Who knows?
He's a great copycat.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
He copies the same as Christ.
Yeah.
You know, he's got the Antichrist, the false prophet that comes and pushes him. And
yeah, no, he'll do everything he can. And he will force everyone then to worship the image or be killed. I know this is where things are getting real touchy, because It's not just you don't have an option anymore. You're going to worship him or you're going to die. And so this is when the pressure comes on and the troubles really start getting heated up. And then we see in verses 16 to 18 his number. And verse 16 says, "And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is the wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and is the number of is 606, 666, 666. Okay? All right, so the false prophet then forces all the people to receive this mark on their right hand and or in their forehead. All right, so remember, we've got the devil's in charge of all this, and the Antichrist is the first beast. The second beast is the false prophet, and they're working together, and the false prophet has gotten this image brought out and deceiving the people with his image, and now he's forcing everyone to take this mark on their hand or on their forehead, all right, to allow them to buy and sell. Then he will make it illegal to buy or sell without using this mark. Now you can see how there's going to be a lot of problems and a lot of, you know, a lot of persecution, because when people say, "Wait a minute, I don't want to do that." We saw a touch of that back when COVID was first on and they were forcing everybody to get their shots. And anybody that didn't want that, they really put pressure on them. And so there was issues. So we're going to see similar things like this in these final days. And the number is called the number of man. John identifies it as 666. Okay? And then wisdom will allow the tribulation believers to know clearly that this 666 identifies the Antichrist. And this will be a terribly difficult time for the believers. If God does not protect or provide for them, they will die. All right, and we see a lot of this. Remember there in Matthew 25. That's an amazing passage. So let me just read some of that to us here. Matthew chapter 25. This is speaking of after the tribulation. So Matthew 25 is after the tribulation. It's the judgment of the living nations. And verse number 31 there. He says, "And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory." All right, so this is after the tribulation. He's coming to set up his kingdom. "And all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, and on the goats on the left hand. And then shall the king say unto them that on the right hand, Come ye, blessed into the of my Father, and inherit the kingdom be prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Verse 35. "For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat, and I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked was I, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer and saying, Lord, when saw we thee hunger and fed thee, and thirsty, and gave thee drink? And when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, and naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, and ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. And I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. And naked, and ye clothed me not. I was sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. And then shall they say Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to the one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." All right, so there's going to be a dividing there at the end of the tribulation among the people that are still alive at the end of the tribulation period, and those that have helped God's people. He said, you helped them because they were my people and you protected them. And remember, why were they, let's just get some of your ideas out. Why would he be concerned about them? All these things here. They're thirsty, hungry, strangers, took me in, naked and clothed. Why would that be an issue?
Because they weren't able to buy anything.
Because of what?
Because they didn't have the mark of the
That's it, exactly. All right. So anybody that doesn't get the mark is not going to be able to buy and sell, and they're going to need help. And somebody's going to have to help them. And those who reach out and risk their lives to help them, it's an indication. Now, he's not saying here that by doing this, you become a believer. He's saying no one but a believer would dare to do that. And so they were helping God's people.
He's helping them then, because the believers all haven't got the mark of the beast, so they can't buy and sell, so how can they help them?
Well, still people still have some funds and some means. It doesn't mean they got much, but they'll share what they got. All right? So, yes, sir.
Not all nations are going to take on the mark of the beast. I don't think all nations are going to take on the mark of the beast, because there's going to be those, and lots of them, who are going to come through the Great Tribulation, who have not worshipped the Antichrist and have not received the mark of the beast. So they must have ways of keeping themselves.
Well, see, that's why I said that. I mean, just because they don't get the mark doesn't necessarily mean they're going to die. Mm-hmm. It just means they can't buy and sell. But I mean, they may have gardens, they may have hideaways, they may have stashed up some stuff and, you know, be able to live. It's only 3.5 years. It's not like we're talking, you know, 30 years. Mm-hmm. So it is potential that there will be people that live through it. All right? And so they'll probably live through it in some way. And as they help each other, and God said, you've helped them, you're one of mine.
They go to digital soon. That means when they go totally digital, this is the beginnings of it, they can seize your assets. They can say how you will spend your assets.
Yeah.
That's the beginning of it. And that's going digital pretty soon.
Yeah, I know.
You know, cash... you won't be able to use cash already in some parts of Europe. Anything over $1,000, and you could be fined if you have anything over $1,000 in cash already in Europe. It's happening. So they're wiping out the cash. Once they bring the digital thing in, they can control accounts, and they will tell you how to spend the money. Basically, you've got some sort of money. They say you have to spend that money. If you don't spend it a certain time, this is speculation, of course. It'll be taken from you, and that can be easily done.
So, in other words, stuff your pillow. That means you had something.
Yeah, but if you also look at all the things that's going to happen, you know, like all the other things are still going to happen in the Revelation. You know, even food will be hard to find, I think, and water will be hard to find.
Yes, well, you're right.
Yeah,
because of all these plagues and stuff that God's going to be pouring out, there's going to be a lot of problems. So everybody's going to be looking for food. Everybody's going to be hungry. There's going to be a hard time for everybody.
Because when they turn the water into blood, you know, they said, what? That's all the water, you know. They don't say just part of it.
Yeah, so it's various. Yeah, well, the water was turned into by segments. I don't think it was all 100%, but there was a lot of it. Yeah, so there's going to be a lot of problems. So as we see this, these things here that God's saying here, you know, that are a reminder to us of what's going to take place. All right, so as we look at some personal applications here, Satan is powerful, and we do not underestimate that fact. We know that, we talk that, but we need to really, truly grasp that. Satan loves to counterfeit the things of God, and Satan is a mighty deceiver, and we need to be careful not to be deceived by him. And then the close of this thought, J. Vernon McGee gives this advice. He said, I would suggest that we do not waste our time trying to identify a person by this number. Instead, we need to present Jesus Christ, that we might reduce the population of those who have to go through the Great Tribulation period and who will therefore know what the number of the beast is. All right? So that's good advice. Instead of worrying about all that, we need to just do what we can to win people to Christ so they don't have to go through it. That's a better option. Okay. All right, some heavy stuff here tonight and some fearful things for those who don't know the Lord. But those of us who know the Lord, we need not fear.